You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to Alyssa Wolf, and we talk about family and business, going into business. What makes this story fun, I think, is how Alyssa shares her story of how she carefully and intentionally designed her life and made changes and choices along the way to make it work for her. This included for her changing her college degree and even accelerated how fast she was able to accomplish graduation. So balancing family and work is a challenge maybe as old as time, an age-old challenge. But what might make this more interesting for you, this particular story, is that Alyssa has five kids, y'all. Five kids. Oh, yes, she does. So this is good. I think you're going to love it. Alyssa Wolf, welcome to the Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm glad you're here. Are you ready for a fun chat?
Yes, I am, Amy.
Yay! I start almost every interview by asking my guests, what part of the world do you call home?
Currently living in Oklahoma.
Oh, Oklahoma. Very nice. Now, let's see. So Oklahoma is part of Tornado Alley. Is it tornado season now? I did spend a chunk of my life in the Midwest, but I don't remember when tornado season is.
Usually it's done, but yes, we were up last night with the sirens.
Oh, all right. Well, that's dramatic. All right. So the topic of the day, not tornadoes. We are going to talk about kids, quite a few kids, and your journey into online business. I'm very excited about this. Let's start with this. I know the answer to this because you put it on your intake form, but I want you to share with the audience a tiny bit about your family. Specifically, tell us a little bit about how many kids you guys have and the age range that they fall in.
Yeah, so I'm a mom with five kids in 10 years. So the youngest is five and almost six, and the oldest is 16.
Okay, all right. So five kids in 10 years. And that actually, for some people, that's going to be a very big family. For other people, it's not a big family. My family is often considered a big family. So I ask questions about it for information, but not from any judgment on my side. Let's back up a tiny itty bitty bit because your kids, you've got these five kids in 10 years. When you were younger, a much younger version of yourself, when you thought forward about your life as an adult, were you a person who knew that you always wanted kids, and did you have a vision of yourself with several children?
Yes, I would say so. I always knew I wanted to be a mom, and we grew up, we occasionally visited a few Mennonite families that had like the 10 kids, and then most of our friends were two or three kid families. I came from a two kid family, so I had an idea that there was a range of kids. And I figured, all right, it will have to depend on me as the mom how many I can handle. But from what I hear, people with lots of siblings love growing up with lots of siblings. So that was what I headed into the teen years with a vision for.
Yeah, that's not unusual. That's not, none of it's unusual, right? And if you ask 100 people, you're going to get 100 different answers for what kind of vision they have for the size of their family. And sometimes people repeat it, and other times people make changes. So you came from a family of two siblings, you and one other sibling.
That's correct.
Okay. And how about your husband, your partner? Did he come from a small or a large family?
Also small, one out of three.
One out of three. All right. Very good. So you were not a group that you were not a pair of people who are repeating what your parents did. Okay. So we're going to talk about when you started this family, because it's a part of your story. And it just, is the way it goes. And let's talk a little bit about education. So before I ask this question, I'll just say, I went to college. It worked for me, but I'm not a person who says that everybody else has to go to college. I know so many really happy people who did not go to college. So I'd ask this with no judgment. Don't live under a rock. I understand that everybody does different things. Tell us about your college experience and how it relates to when you started your family.
Yes, I was excited to go to college. So at 14, I was spending like hours poring through college catalogs trying to pick the exact right major. And of course, that changed every time I picked a different college as my top one. But finally, at 16, we settled on one. And then I went there at 17, started in my lovely, wonderful major, and realized, oh, I can't see myself doing this for the long haul. I don't even know if I could finish this major and still keep my sanity. So I had to shift out. Ditch all of my carefully chosen degree plans, figure out something else to study. The problem was it was an engineering college and I do not have an engineering brain. So I was pretty limited what I could go with. So I ended up doing the catch-all interdisciplinary one so I could just throw in a few interesting areas of study and get out with the degree in hand because that was what I promised my parents. I will graduate with a degree before I get married.
Okay.
So
All right. So that's really interesting. So you, if you were looking at 14, I was not, other than, I knew that there was college. I do not think that I had a plan. I was not one of those people who had lists and spreadsheets and knew the names. And I've got the four kids that have gone through our house. So I've been through that process four times. Some of them, I think, two, it's a pretty even split in my house. Two of them had really intentional plans that they did and structured, and the other two were just kind of like, "Hi, what's next?" And so, but you really were, you did have a plan, and that plan was a form of engineering. You're not the first person I talked to that when they got into studying engineering, they're like, "Well, wait a minute. This is not exactly what I thought it was going to be. I don't like this anymore."
Well, to correct the record, I was at an engineering school, but I had a
Okay.
few other majors. So no, I never did engineering.
So you weren't studying engineering, but it was an
No.
engineering school.
Yes.
Misunderstanding on my part. But you decided you, so then you shifted and you chose to finish your degree because you had made a deal with your parents that you were going to finish a degree. All right. So a part of this story, I think, is meeting your husband. Did you guys meet at school? Where did you have a relationship before you went to school? How did you guys meet?
Yeah, I met him freshman semester pretty early on. I had no clue. We didn't really talk. So it took the sophomore year when I got in the middle of all these major changes. Before we became friends, he asked if he could court me. I eventually said, oh, well, all right, yes, we're spending way too much time together anyways. It's not to be some kind of relationship. So that got added into the mix, right with all the career stuff. And at that point, I was like, all right, I'm going to compress my major down to 3 years instead of four. We kept getting more serious. Like, this is headed the marriage direction. And he was a graduating senior. So got engaged, said goodbye. He's going off to get his first job. And I'm still at school with an entire year left and thinking, that's too long an engagement. What else can I do? So that summer, I was bugging my academic advisor like crazy during my internship. What else can I do? What summer classes can I take? What things can I do to possibly graduate in one semester, not two? So she put together this grand plan. I did an overload semester and I was able to walk that December so we could get married sooner.
Wow. All right. How far away did he go for the job? Did he go far, far away? Like, were you
He
guys
went pretty
doing?
far away. Yeah,
So
he had
you
to
guys
fly
had
in.
how? So you guys had a long distance relationship for at least a year.
Well, I knocked it down to the more like the 9 months.
9 months. All right.
So that
So
was a little
very
better
good.
if you count the summer and the semester.
You're obviously a very innovative, get it done kind of person because you went into college with a plan, planning college before as a teenager. You were very intentional about this. Then you made the change to your degree when you became aware that it didn't match up with your life goal. That's a pretty, it sounds like you had a pretty good self-concept and the ability to bend. And then you had a time frame for graduating and getting married, and when you're like, "Oh, this is not what I want," you went to the administration and said, "Hey, what do we do? How do we make this work the way I want it to?" That's, I think there are other people that probably would just be like, "Oh, this is it. There's no option here."
Yeah, and I got teased in college, like going for the MRS degree, but I was like, no, I put in a ton of work to graduate in 2.5 years. Yes, I'm getting married right after graduation, but so are half of you probably.
There was one person in my friend group got married straight out of we all went right after term ended. She was my one friend, and we teased her too, but they're still happily married, so she wins. And so they okay. So to recap, you accelerate your degree. You know you don't want to do the thing at your. You shifted your career path in school, and you get married. And do you go straight into family building, or is there a period where you have a professional career?
Yeah, I went straight to family building because getting that degree as part of the bargain with my parents and still managing to like what I studied meant it was interdisciplinary. You can't really get much of a job. It did not lead directly to a degree, which was what I had planned for myself, what my dad had expected as well. So getting married, it was kind of the, well, I just shot the career path. I'm not sure what to do next. Well, since I always saw myself with kids, I might as well go ahead and get started. So
Okay.
3 months after we got married, I had that positive pregnancy test.
Okay. So this was a dramatic shift. So when you say interdisciplinary degree, tell me a little bit more about what that means, just so that I make sure that we're all understanding. So it's not like a trade program or an accounting degree. What did it mean that it was an interdisciplinary certificate or degree?
That university said you may pick three minors and then you may throw a bunch of general ed courses of, whatever else you studied. So for me, I used that first year in my major and I threw all those courses in there. And then I effectively got to pick three minors I wanted to study. Boom, done, out.
Okay. So, and did you like the stuff that you were studying
Oh,
while you were there? Did
yes.
you enjoyed
Very
it?
enjoyable.
Yeah, very nice. Okay. So you decide to go directly into building your family, no messing around, five kids in 10 years. I actually grew up with a very close family, friends. The kids were younger than me. I babysat for them when I was a teenager, but they had five kids in probably 6 years. There was a time where there were five kids under five that the mom would talk about. So they were very, very close together. So you had some gaps. I remember thinking that that mom could handle anything if she could do that. So that is one. Anyway, this is a story not about my family friends, but about you. One of the things that jumped out at me in your intake form is that you have these five kids in 10 years, and then you say in the intake form that you were looking for your next challenge. And that stood out to me very clearly because I think managing a house with five kids, seven people would be a huge challenge. Let's talk about that. What was going on that you were looking for another challenge?
Well, for me, adding a new kid is always like the next level. So I went from one to two, and that's when I had that decision point. All right, do I stay with the family size I grew up in, or do I go for the at least medium-sized family? And that's when I thought, this is easy. I think I will challenge myself more than living it easy for the rest of my parenting life. And then we had kid number three, we had kid number four. That was a pretty awful birth story. I said, I don't really want to finish on that note. Can we please have kid number five? By that point, I was like, I'm tired of getting up at night nursing newborns. I don't feel like I need to do this anymore. So I just felt done. My husband was quite happy to hear that, of course, because he's looking at the van size and the number of seats available. And do you have to go for a seven seater or an eight seater? That affects your availability with new vehicle purchases.
It does.
And so I'm like, all right, I'm done having kids. There's no more leveling up of how many more people I can juggle. Well, as soon as I get used to past the first couple months, I'm like, okay, so life is settling back into our routine. Great. What am I going to do with my free time again? I should note here that my husband started working from home, so I was not allowed to sleep in with my free time. So I'm looking at 5 hours a day of quote unquote leisure. That's way too much.
Okay, so I think that there are going to be many people who are listening to this that are going to say that does not sound like a situation where I would actually have very much free time. I definitely like there. I helped to raise four kids. That seemed like it was very, very busy season of life. The youngest of yours is still just under 6 years old. So I think there are definitely going to be people who are thinking, what free time exactly did you have with a house of five kids? So you were going through this very methodically, which I've only talked to you for a couple of minutes, but that matches the other ways that you were making decisions. Which of the jumps from as you went up in kids, Which of the jumps felt like big jumps? Because like for 0 to 1 is a big jump. It's a very famous jump to go from not having any kids to kids. 0 to 1 is a big jump. What were the other jumps that maybe felt like, wow, this is a big increase in how our life feels at home?
Just the fourth one, but that was because of some unusual things with his birth.
Yeah, so
Beyond
you
that,
like
it wasn't
say.
really too hard to level up each time.
Wow. Okay. And so that is I am impressed because I will say every single time I added a new kid, I always like was like, wow, that's a lot. It always surprised me. Like it just it did. It always surprised me. I will admit. So I was a stepmom before I was a mom. So my first kid was actually a third kid in the house. So I never actually I only sort of I did and I didn't have the 0 to 1 phase. And then I had a very abrupt adjustment, which is like sort of 0 to 3. And so that felt like a lot. But when we added the fourth, that was also, oh my God, it was like, where there's no time. Where are all they just of all the schedules, so on and so forth. All right, very good. So today, like I knew this was going to be good when I read it because I have learned so many things from people who manage busy households. You call yourself a take back your time coach these days. I'd love for you to share a little bit about that. This is a direct correlation to the fact that you had 5 hours of free time with your kids. I once did a survey for a business coach many, many years ago, and I audited my time, and I had 45 minutes in a day that wasn't like pre-scheduled. You had 5 hours. All right, very good. So you call yourself a take back your time coach. Tell us more about that.
Well, for the next ironic twist, after blowing up all my degree plans, I said I will never be an entrepreneur. I don't have the right mindset. I'm not a risk taker. Like, this is not for me.
Okay.
So I'm proceeding on this five kids and homeschooling and this and that and the other kind of life and cooking from scratch and like all the things. But I still had that desire, me, the teenager, to do something more. I had an idea, maybe it'd be mentoring women, but
Okay.
that was as vague as it was. So I'm sitting here having another kid and another kid and another kid going, okay, God, why can't I have a purpose too? Like, having a family is great. This is essential to my identity, but what else do I have out there? Because obviously I have gifts, talents, and abilities if I can cram through degrees and manage the family like this and not feel like it's too difficult. So what am I supposed to give back to other people? So 6 months after the birth of baby number five, I'm listening to a podcast host and she starts talking about online business. I don't know what rock I was living under. I had never heard about online business
I
before.
know what rock you were living under. You were living under babies and
Yes.
toddlers and school and food. Okay, go on. So you're listening to a podcast and you discover the concept of online business. I
Yes.
interrupted you. I apologize, Alyssa.
Oh,
Go
no
on.
problem. And of course, it was a call to action for her business boot camp, a free multi-day challenge to learn how you could set up your own online business. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go attend that just to see what this is about because I like research. So I did that, and then I'm like, I could see how this could work for me. I can still stay home with all these kids. I can do virtual mentoring of something when I pick what my business will be about. It looks to me like I've got a choice here. I can say, this is not convenient for me. I'm going to wait 17 years till this 6-month-old graduates from high school. Or I can say, this is going to require a lot of up-leveling, but I'm going to go ahead and do it now, even with kids at home. So I decided I give myself like another month to think about it and research, but I picked the go ahead and start now and up-level.
So that and the youngest was 6 months. So that's an interesting milestone because a couple things happen right around 6 months. The baby sits up, they start to giggle. They also there's a period where a lot of parents get real tired because when they do that, they like are like, I don't need to sleep. No one needs to sleep. I just discovered how to sit up and smile. Like, let's just stay up all night long and sit up. But after that is where things really actually begin to stretch out and you get to do those big chunks of sleep. And so you do feel like you can climb a new mountain and take something on. It's where you kind of, that is that benchmark. So that part of it does definitely make sense. Okay, so part of, I have gone through many business workshops myself. Part of that is often, and I think that your story is going to dovetail with that, they look at you and they're like, what are your strengths? What is the thing that you can do? And talk to us a little bit about how you got to managing time. I mentioned that I have learned many things from people who came from big families. Notably, I learned from my sister-in-law, who's one of seven. She taught me like a system for grocery shopping because she can't, you know, because yeah, it's a process when you're feeding a big family like that. Like, and she taught me, and I was like, oh my gosh. But how did you come to think about time as the thing that you had a strength in and you would like to mentor people?
I was just brainstorming, like they tell you to do in the exercises, like, what do you enjoy and you're good at? So I'm like, budgeting and paying off debt, picking a personal style uniform according to whatever seasonal colors flatter you, decluttering, minimalism, and then productivity, time management. So that was in there right from the beginning.
Okay.
I just took a while till I realized everyone is right. You do have to niche down. You can't talk about every single thing at once.
Okay. All right. Very, very good. It definitely is a thing. So it's like, what are you good at? Once upon a time, many years ago, I was doing a worksheet like that. I tell this story all the time. And one of the things was ask other people what they think you're good at. And I went to my husband and I was like, all right, so here's the thing. This is this worksheet. What do you think that I'm good at? And he looked right at me and he was like, this conversation may not go well for me. I do not want to have this conversation with you. Please go find somebody else to ask and have this conversation with. And I was like, fair enough. But yeah, so how did you do that version of it? Or did you talk to other people and get feedback about what kind of things they thought you excelled at? Or was it all just self-driven and knowing yourself?
I probably asked my mom just as a backup, but yeah, I'm pretty self-driven and I love the practical aspect of psychology, so I had done quite a lot of introspection.
It's yeah, no, many people think say will say that forming your own business is almost like it's a self-development course in itself. It challenges you in very similar ways. All right, so very good. So you started this process when the youngest was 6 months. So how long have you been working on this, roughly?
So this has been over 5 years now, because that was January of 2020.
Wow. Oh, wow. So that was the boom of everybody starting their online business, just as a point of discussion. All right, very good. Okay, so I am going to ask you a semi-personal question. When I wrote this out, I wasn't sure if it would be appropriate, but you've mentioned a couple of things that I think it'll fit. You can tell me to buzz off if it's not, but many things with families and children and so on and so forth are deeply rooted in faith organizations. Is your community and is your stuff is the stuff that you do is your philosophy personally, is there a faith-based element to it or not?
Well, for me personally, there is. I don't necessarily work with clients
Okay.
as part of my method with that. So
Okay.
if a client is a Christian, then yes, we'll be time blocking in like the time for church or the small group or something. But it's not one of my program pillars to be
Okay.
building in faith. Like self-care is a program pillar, not necessarily devotional time, if that makes sense.
That is exactly what I was curious about because just because it is helpful to people know, because it's either way, like if you have a specific faith that's very important to you, it's nice to be able to find people who are aligned. And also the other way to know whether or not communities are driven. And it was in my mind because sometimes large groups of children are faith-based communities. Like sometimes it's a pillar of faith communities, not in mine. So like I will tell you, it doesn't have to be that way. Sometimes people just have big families. So, but I did think I would raise it and bring it up to give you a chance to talk about it if it was a key element of what you were doing or not. So that's where that question was, and I appreciate you humoring me on it. All right. So we've talked a little bit about you. We've talked a little bit about your beautiful family and how you designed the timeline for your family in a unique way that served you and your family very well. and bucked a little bit of convention and made your own path. In a minute, we're going to do the final questions, but I want to give you a chance to tell people specifically about your business and give us a way that you would like for people to follow up with you, like on social media or email after the show.
Sure. So fundamentally, what I'm doing is saying there is a better way. You don't have to keep juggling, oh, my kids need me over here and my husband needs me over here. And all the self-development podcasts say, go work out, take time for yourself, do this and this and this and this and this. Plus, I have my career over here or my business and my goals for it. And it all can't fit in. No, it can. But there's some very radical mindset shifts you need to make of dropping off everything that's non-essential, and it might even be culturally weird for you to say, I don't think this is essential for me and my family. So once you get it in your head that you are allowed to have a both and, suddenly you can smash that box of what motherhood and business and working from home can look like. And then you can start saying, what if I make my kids start learning how to cook and clean? Because they're going to need to in 10 years when they're at college anyways. Why not start them now when they have less resistance, you know? Or what if we severely limit everyone's extracurricular activities? And in fact, I don't really go anywhere with the whole family because we need time at home to get all this stuff done. Okay, fine. If you're an introvert, that's going to work. Speaking as an introvert, of course. Maybe you're saying, I'm just not going to sign up for all the volunteer stuff like at church with your faith community. Oh, well, you should. Yes, and I don't have time. I am juggling this many things. If you stay at home and you have one child and you need to fill your time, you can go do that. I am going to be over here with three kids, and maybe one of them has ADHD, and maybe I'm doing a side hustle, and then maybe I've got a full-time job. No, I do not want to spend my precious off hours volunteering. And then pushing up against that, well, are you selfish? What about the people pleasing? What about what other people think of you? And you say, no, I'm not going to your kid's birthday party. No, I'm not taking them to the park. They can run around the backyard. Like, whatever you pick, it gets to be okay as long as it was driven by your values and your priorities. So, what I'm doing is I'm coming along and putting the scaffolding behind that and saying, all right, these are your priorities. Great. How do we make all the puzzle pieces fit? And not fit like cramming them in, but fitting with margin and white space so that you never have to feel that level of frazzle and I have to rush to meet the next thing. I have to rush to finish my to-do list. You have the space to breathe, just live and enjoy your family. And yes, hit the goals as hard as you want to, but you're not having to cram it all in.
So that's it is a hard one to wrap your head around sometimes when you've internalized somebody else's idea of what you're supposed to be doing. And you mentioned one of the ones, which is volunteering. And I heard this, somebody was talking about it on a podcast that I was listening to, and they had flipped the words around, and maybe other people who were listening had heard this before, but instead of using the word volunteer, the person was like, I had been voluntold that I was supposed to do things. And she talks about her process of releasing those because it was never actually her intention to do those things. And so, but and also the pressure of making it okay, just like you were saying, like saying, I understand that you think I should be doing this, but it doesn't fit in my life right now, volunteering on those levels. Yeah, no, that those are really, really good. So, and is this based on, it's hard for me to imagine in the 30 minutes that we've known each other, it's hard for me to imagine a time where you were frazzled with your schedule, but is some of this based on a personal journey that you went through?
Not really in the sense of no, I never was frazzled because I put in like 2 or 3 hours of quiet time from the get-go with baby number one. But I still had to adapt my schedule every single time I added a new baby or I graduated a kid to kindergarten and homeschool. And now all of a sudden they needed educational time from me. And now I've got people prepping for college. Like there has been that shift in what our routines have to look like every semester, pretty much. So yes, it's not a frazzle to peace story. It's a peace to expansion and you holding even more peacefully story.
Okay. All right. I love that. All right. So you have a special offer for the listeners, which I'm going to share. You call it your ready to go work at home daily schedule. So this is you specialize in helping people who are home based with maybe they have families and maybe they also have side hustles or maybe they just have other commitments. And you describe this as no need to hash out the perfect parenting and business schedule on your own. download your new daily routine and save all that brain space. Normally, this is a product that is sold for $37, but for the audience, there's a code for free access. So if this is something, this is a very generous offer. I want to say thank you very much, Alyssa, for making this available to the audience. There's a link in the show notes and in the newsletter that I send out. With links and codes, I always tell people who are listening and watching, the easiest way to access those is definitely to be a part of the Imperfect Adulting email community, because then I send it straight into your email box. You get it when it's fresh. You just click on it. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. All right. So thank you very much again for that generous offer. I encourage everybody to take advantage of that. Are you ready for the final three questions, Alyssa?
Yes.
Yay. All right. So I wrote this before we had this conversation. Usually, I try and make the questions not actually about the topic of the interview, but I have mentioned a couple times that I'm really grateful for some of the things that I learned how to do from people who had families before me, right? What is a tip? And I think this is going to be a good one for you because I think you mentioned time. What is a tip that you can offer for finding or creating quiet time for your house, for yourself in a house of seven people?
If your kids have nap time, use that. If they don't have nap time and they're still at home, they're not at school, tell them this is afternoon quiet time. It's essentially the same thing. And you, as the mom, get to go run off for hour, 2, 3 hours and have that to all to yourself without having to stay up late or get up early.
Yeah, revenge. They call that revenge night owl. Like the when you
Yes,
try and reclaim it after they go back to sleep,
it's
it
awful.
seems like it's going to work, and yet it doesn't. Yet it doesn't. We all try it. If you're out there and you're trying to reclaim after everybody goes to bed, we sympathize. We've all been there. Like it's not a bad thing. Okay, so do you personally read or listen to books? And if so, do you want to share with us one of the last books that you read and enjoyed?
Yes, I love reading. I will listen like podcast binging, but I'm not really an audiobook person.
Okay.
I bet I could find out for you. I could log into my library thing because I go to the library every single week
Okay.
and see what my checkouts were because I've read them all already. Oh, I was reading some Clive Cussler books because it's been a couple of years since I read his Oregon Ship Oregon Files series.
Okay.
So every few years I go and reread things because otherwise I will run out of stuff to read, which is maybe sounds kind of silly, but it's true.
So you were reading, rereading Clive Cussler books.
Yes.
Those can be very good. Those can be very, very good. All right, very good. That's a great suggestion. Okay, so this is a question I'm trying out. Okay, so I want you to think back over your life about all the advice that other people have given you. And if there's a piece of good advice, maybe even great advice that you remember that somebody has given you in your life, what was it? And if you remember, who gave it to you?
I think it came from Ali Casaza, who's a current podcaster right now. And it was something along the lines of, if something feels heavy and stressful to you don't need to be working on yourself to try to cope with it. That's a permission slip to make it lighter. Even if it means you said, oh, it's leftovers night or it's frozen meal night because, supper was feeling difficult. Like, relieve the pressure first and then think about a fix. Don't just say, oh, it must mean there's something wrong about me. And keep
Okay.
forcing yourself to have that pressure.
So
So
yeah, so
make it lighter.
she was saying when something feels heavy or hard,
Make it lighter,
watch
whatever you
out
need
that
to
you're
do.
not internalizing it and always making it about you. That's a very good bit of advice because that can be very hard. Like it can be very easy to slip into if something's not feel easy, it must mean I'm not good enough. All right, I like that a lot. All right, that's it, Alyssa Wolf. Thank you so much for being an amazing guest today on the show.
Thank you, Amy. It was my pleasure.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself. Head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.